But that guy got my car for less than market value. I lost money on that deal. Hello? Hello?
Hello, sucker.
Station WMAQ is presenting Hello, Sucker, in cooperation with the Chicago Better Business Bureau to help you recognize some of the schemes and rackets now making the rounds in Chicago. Business people are honest and fair with the public almost 100%. But there's a small minority which preys on the unsuspecting public through petty schemes and rackets. And although these rackets are continually exposed and their perpetrators prosecuted, many continue year after year with new ones being concocted and old ones revived with a new slant. Guard against the rackets. Don't let the expression, hello, sucker, refer to you. Protect yourself. Listen to Chapter 7, Six-Cylinder Shakedown on Hello, Sucker.
The used car business is an essential part of the automotive industry. It is of an extreme importance to the motoring public, who cannot afford a new car or believe it economical to buy a used one, as well as to those who trade in their old cars for new ones or for other used cars. Most automobile dealers are conscious of their responsibility for fair play with the public and have rightly earned the public's respect and confidence. Unfortunately, however, there is a small group of dealers who capitalize on the public's ignorance of trade-in allowances or of the cost of buying automobiles on installment payments. Tonight, we want to bring you the story of two unethical practices in the used car field. First, there's the scheme which, in the trade, is called bushing. If this is worked cleverly, it is hardly apparent to the victim. Certainly, Terry Briggs wasn't aware that he had been singled out as a likely prospect for the scheme. He left work as usual that Tuesday.
Hey, Terry, you're coming home to dinner with me, aren't you? Alice is expecting you.
Oh, darn right I am. You know I'm always on deck when Alice is handing out her delicious chow.
Yeah, guess you aren't there. But then, you always were the first in any chow line. Well, I remember when we were at camp.
Oh, no, you're not going to bring that up again.
But that's one of the things I always admired about you, Terry. The way you could always shove so many guys out of the way.
Hey, hold it, Ned. Where are you going? The car's parked right here.
Oh, yeah.
Hope you'll forgive me for calling this jalopy a car.
Like I keep telling you, Terry, I think you've got a pretty good little bus here.
Well, maybe, but I sure wish I could trade it in.
Why don't you?
Can't get enough on a trade-in to make it worthwhile. $1,000 is all anybody's offered me for this buggy. Can you imagine? Only $1,000 lousy bucks. Go on, Ned Kleiner.
Okay, I'll just slide in from this. Hey, Terry, you see this?
See what?
This circular, whatever it is, stuck on the windshield wiper.
No, what's it say?
It says, hey, Terry, get a load of this. If I could get you $1,260 for this car, would you trade for a practically new car? If interested, see Ed Corey at Zero Auto Sales Incorporated, 735 East Avenue, open evenings. Hey, how do you like...
Hey, let's see it, Ned. $1,260. Hey, that's not bad. Not bad at all. Price is written in ink, too. You must have looked this job over and appraised it. $1,260.
Yeah, it does sound pretty good. Why don't you go over and see that guy, Terry?
Well, maybe sometime. But right now, boy, let's go on over to your place and see what Alice has cooking for us.
Well, I see you're making yourself at home in your usual quiet way, Terry. Gee, I'm sorry I'm late getting home, Ned. Honey,
well, that's okay, Alice. Terry and I got here a little early anyway. It isn't 5 o'clock yet. Oh, can I help you with anything, honey?
Hmm? You can set the table.
Will do.
Well, what on earth's the matter with you, Terry?
Hmm?
Don't you feel well? I haven't heard a word out of you since I came in the house.
Not sure. I'm all right. I'm just thinking.
Thinking? Now I've heard everything. Okay, big brain, you just relax a while. I'll have dinner on the table in no time.
Say, Alice.
What is it, Terry? Are you ready to voice a thought?
Cut it, Alice. I just thought, as long as you won't have dinner ready right away, maybe you wouldn't mind if I went out for a little while.
Well, no, Terry. Of course I won't mind. Eve, you go ahead.
It's okay with you, isn't it, Ned?
Hmm?
I thought I'd take a run over to see that Ed Corey at Zero Auto Sales.
Good idea, Terry.
Oh, Terry.
Yeah?
You come on back here, even if you run into a blonde or something and get delayed. I'll keep your dinner warm for you in the office.
How do you do? You say you wanted to see me? I'm Ed Corey.
Why, yes. My name is Terry Briggs. I found this circular on my car late this afternoon.
Sure. I put it there myself. I remember your car well, too. I hoped you'd come in to see me, Mr. Briggs. Matter of fact, I checked your license number and got your name and address. If you hadn't come in, I was planning on phoning you one of these evenings. Never like to see anyone pass up a good vet, no, sir. Now, what are you most interested in? Want to see one of our wonderful used cars?
Well, yes, I want to look at a car, but... frankly, first I was interested in your trade-in offer. You see, I want to get as much as I can for my car.
Of course you do, Mr. Briggs, naturally. Believe me, you've come to the right place to get it.
Your offer of $1,260 sounded pretty good to me.
A sensational offer, Mr. Briggs. Off the record, the only reason I could make such an offer was because I have a customer who's interested in a car like yours.
Oh, I see.
And tell you what you do, Mr. Briggs. You just look around at the cars on the sales floor, and as soon as you see one you like, you let me know. In the meantime, I'll be making up a bill of sale ready for you to sign. You might take a look first at that yellow four-door sedan over there. 1951 model, practically new. A real buy. Oh, you say you think you like the blue convertible the best, Mr. Briggs?
Yes, it's just about the kind of car I had in mind.
Well, that yellow sedan is a wonderful buy. But, of course, we want our customers satisfied. If you prefer the blue convertible, then that's the car we want you to take. Here's the bill of sale all ready for you to sign, Mr. Briggs.
Okay, where do I sign?
Right here, on this line.
Hey, wait a minute.
Well, what's the matter?
Plenty's the matter. This says you're only allowing me $1,100 on my old car. You quoted me a price of $1,260.
Well, that was before I knew you wanted the blue convertible. We can hardly give you that high a trade-in on a car like this convertible, Mr. Briggs.
Well, I can't see what difference that makes.
Oh, it makes a great deal of difference. You understand, of course, that the trade-in value of your old car is, in effect, the same as a down payment on the car you're buying. A convertible has so much extra equipment...
But if my old car is worth $1,260, what difference does it make what car I buy?
I'll tell you what we'll do, Mr. Briggs. As long as you have your heart set on the blue convertible, I'll just make up another bill of sale and allow you, say, $1,160 on your old car. How's that?
$1,160? Well, that's $100 less than you offered me at first.
True, Mr. Briggs, but look at the wonderful car you'll be getting. And the extra accessories. They're worth quite a bit alone. Radio?
Ned, what do you suppose is keeping Terry so long?
Oh, I don't know. They decided to buy a car. You can't do that in a few minutes, you know.
Yes, but he's been gone 3 hours.
It's still early. Only 8 o'clock. He'll get here.
I haven't had any dinner, Mr. Corey. I've looked at cars until I can hardly see. And now that I've finally decided on the yellow sedan, you tell me you'll only give me $1,100 for my old car.
All right, but where else can you get as much as $1,100 for your old car, Mr. Briggs?
I don't know. All I know
is... Mr. Briggs, I'm beginning to think that you don't know a good offer when you hear it. Now, $1,100 is a good, fair price for your car.
Oh, all right. I'll take $1,100. Only I still can't understand...
I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll draw up the contract for $1,100 and... Then you can take the contract into Mr. Goodrich, our manager, and perhaps he'll allow you more than $1,100. After all, the final decision is up to him.
Okay. Will it take much longer, making up another contract?
I'll have it fixed up in just a few minutes. Now, you just relax, Mr. Briggs. I'll be right back.
Yes, now, Mr. Goodrich, the manager. Sit down, Mr. Briggs.
Thank you.
I can't sign this contract the way it is, Mr. Briggs.
Why? What do you mean, sir?
I have a full description of your old car here, and according to the present market value, we couldn't possibly allow you as much as $1,100 for it. It just isn't worth it.
But your salesman even offered me as high as $1,260 for it.
Well, I'm sorry if one of our salesmen went overboard in his judgment, Mr. Briggs. But of course, you can hardly expect management to go along with such offers.
Oh, well, maybe we'd better just skip the whole thing. I've been in your sales room for 5 hours, Mr. Goodrich, and I
know. Buying a car is a tiring job. So is selling one. I understand from the salesman that you really liked the blue convertible better than the yellow sedan.
Yes, I did. But he said
you're
that
a smart young man. You know a real buy when you see one. I'll tell you what I'll do, Mr. Briggs. We'll sell you the blue convertible and allow you $950 for your old car.
Sure,
Terry. I think it's swell you got the convertible you wanted. But you say you only got $950 for your old car?
Yeah, that's right. But you see, this convertible has...
we thought you were in an accident or something. We didn't dream you were at that dealer's all this time. You must be tired, Terry.
I'm just plain bushed.
Yeah, but Terry, I don't get it. I thought this guy offered you $1,260 for your old car.
He did at first,
and
but...
you ended up taking $950. Man, I'd say you were taken in.
Oh, now, Ned, stop making fun of Terry. You two are always at each other's throats. Oh,
we're not really serious, Alice. But this... this is rare. Forgive me, old son of a gun, but I just can't help it. What a fall guy.
That's how the unethical bushing practice was worked on Terry Briggs. When a salesman offers you a ridiculously high trade-in allowance on your old car, be careful. Remember that your car is worth only the market price that its model and condition make it worth. No dealer can afford to buy your car for more than he can sell it. When the salesman's offer is later repudiated by the management, be on your guard. The dealer is only trying to get you to trade in your car at a lower price. When you are detained for hours in the dealer's showroom until you are physically and mentally worn out, beware. You are having the bushing racket tried on you. Of course, sometimes you'll be lucky. Like Terry's friend, Ned Barnes. Ned just sat on the sidelines and learned while the racket was being pulled on somebody else. He didn't have anything to worry about anyway. He thought. He didn't own a car to trade in. That was before he knew about the biggest automobile racket of them all, the one known in the trade as packing. And that was before he decided to buy a car. It was with that decision that all his troubles started.
Say, that's great, Ned, that you're going to buy a car. I know you've been wanting one for a long time.
Yeah, I think we can manage one now, if we buy on time.
Oh, I'm just thrilled to death. We've been wanting a car ever since we got married. Now we think we can actually afford a used car.
But there's one thing for sure, Terry. We're not going to buy it at that Zero auto sales where you got yours.
All right. You've laughed enough about my deal with Zero. But where are you going to buy your car?
Over on Rhodes Avenue. Nesdem Auto Sales, I think it's called. We saw just the car we want over there. A four-door sedan. Swellest looking little job you ever saw.
In two shades of blue. Oh, will you see it, Terry? We're going over tonight and take a look at it.
Yeah, we might even buy it tonight.
You want to come with us?
No, thanks. I'm allergic to used car dealers.
And like I say, Mr. Barnes, you're just lucky that this car is still here on the sales floor. You don't run into a buy like this every day. Only $1,200 for a 1948 four-door sedan. It's practically like new.
Well, we wanted to take another look at it before we made up our minds, didn't we, Ned?
Yes, we wanted to be sure that...
Now, listen, folks. I'm going to tell you something. Now, just between ourselves, there's another party interested in this car.
Oh.
He's coming back tomorrow, and I'm pretty sure he's coming back to make a down payment on it. Now, I don't want to force your hand, you understand, but if you're really interested in this car, well, just thought I'd tip you off.
Oh, well, thanks. Thanks for telling us, Mr. Jackson. What do you think, honey? Are you sold on this car?
Oh, I am, Ned. I like it even better tonight than I did the other day.
Oh, I'm pretty sold on it myself. Mr. Jackson, you know we told you we'd have to buy a car on installment.
Oh, I understand that, Mr. Barnes. You know something? Over 50% of the used car buyers buy them on the installment plan, so you're no exception.
How much would we have to pay down on this car?
According to federal regulations, you have to make a down payment of a third on the cost of the car. A $1,200 car, you'd have to pay $400 down.
$400 down? Oh, gosh, I'm afraid we wouldn't be able to close the deal tonight, then. Oh, I haven't got anywhere near that amount with me.
Oh, no, you see, we weren't sure we'd actually buy a car tonight.
Gee, I hate to think that we're going to lose out on this car. If that other fellow makes a payment tomorrow...
Well, I think I can fix that all right for you, Mr. Barnes. A fairly small payment would hold a car for you. How much could you pay tonight?
Well, let's see. Here's 20 and 10. That's 30. You any money with you?
Oh, I think I've got $15. Here, I looked through my purse. This is 5.
Oh, how can you find anything in that mess of stuff you carry around?
You just wait a minute. I've got a 10 here someplace. Oh, no, that's my laundry with me.
Oh.
Oh, here. I knew I had $15 with me.
Fine. That makes $45. Now, we can hold the car for you with this payment. Now, if you'll
Mr. Jackson, first, can you give me some idea of what the monthly payments will be?
Well, I'm afraid I can't tell you exactly. You see, I don't know yet what the carrying charge and the insurance will be.
Can't you give me a rough estimate so I can tell about what to figure out?
Well, it's a little difficult to do. Insurance runs pretty high, you know. Could hazard a guess. It'd be only a guess, you understand.
Oh, I understand.
Let's see. 18 months. Well, I guess the payments might be somewhere around $70 a month.
I guess I can manage that all right.
Now, if you folks will just step over here, I'll make you up a receipt for your $45. And as soon as you have the balance of $355, Mr. Barnes, you bring it in. By that time, I'll have the whole transaction figured for you. And you can pick up your sales contract and your... Hello, I want to speak to Mr. Rich.
One moment, please.
Rich speaking.
Oh, hello, Harry. This is Miles Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson. What's in your mind?
I got a little deal I'm handling myself personally. I'd be glad to throw the business your way, Harry, if you make a worthwhile offer.
And what's it on?
Well, it's that 1948 four-door, six-cylinder blue job I was telling you about. And I'm selling it for $1,200 with a $400 down payment. 18 months to pay. I expect the fellow to come in within a few days to sign up. What's the contract worth to you?
Wait a minute, Jackson. I've got to do some figuring.
Go ahead. I'll hang on.
Let me see. I'll give you a $50 kickback.
$50? Oh, Harry, I know a finance outfit will give me 60. Well, I guess you're just not interested in the business. No hard feelings. Just thought that I'd call
you. Now, wait a minute, Jackson. Don't go off half-cocked. Maybe I didn't figure it right. You know, I'll give you as much on the side as I can. You and I are usually able to get together on these deals. 60, huh?
That's right. Of course, I'd rather deal with you, Harry, but you know how it is. A fella has to...
I'll tell you what, Jackson. For you, I'll up that other outfit 10. I'll kick back $70 to you on a contract. That interest you?
Swell, Harry, swell. I'll go ahead and put the name of the Porcine Finance Company on the contract. Harry, what finance charge you want to make on this?
What kind of a customer you got?
Just the kind you like, Harry. Never owned a car before.
Great. I'll figure the finance charge out and call you back, Jackson.
Okay.
And thanks a lot, Jackson.
Oh, say, while you're figuring the payments, don't forget to figure in my $70.
Now, Jackson, you know I wouldn't forget a thing like that. Your $70 back will be in there.
$300, $350, $355. Okay, Mr. Barnes, that does it. Now, here's your conditional sales contract, all made out and ready for you to sign.
May I see it in a minute?
Oh, sure thing. Here.
Well, gee, Mr. Jackson, monthly payments are higher than I expected. It says here there'll be $84.44 per month for 18 months. I thought...
Well, it's like I told you before, Mr. Barnes. When you buy on installment payments, you have to pay a small carrying charge to the finance company for its service. Well, plus the insurance, of course.
Oh, I didn't realize car insurance was so high. This says $719.92 for finance charge and insurance.
I explained to you before that insurance runs high, Mr. Barnes. But naturally, you want to carry all the insurance you can. You drive a car these days, you can't be too well protected. This way, you see, you'll be covered for fire, theft, accidental damage to the car, and deductible collision.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's worth it.
Sure it is. Now, if you'll just sign here, Mr. Barnes.
Oh, sure.
Okay, here's your copy of the contract, Mr. Barnes.
Thanks. Do I get my insurance policy now, too?
No, it'll be mailed to you in about 30 days. But, of course, you're fully covered by the insurance as of right now. Well, here are the keys to your car, Mr. Barnes. You are now the owner of a swell-looking...
Oh, my, that was a wonderful drive, wasn't it, Nancy?
Boy, it sure was.
I just love our Saturdays now. You know, even though we've only had the car a month, I just can't imagine how we ever got along without it. Oh, look, Ned. The mail in the box.
Huh?
Let's see what it is. Oh, it's only one letter. For you. Here.
For me? Oh, from the insurance company.
Can't you wait until we get in the apartment to read it? What's it say?
It's nothing much. Just a memo giving us all the details of the insurance policy they're going to send us shortly.
No. Oh, well, come on. Hey, let's go on.
Hey, wait a minute. I don't understand this.
What is it, Ned?
The premium on this policy. It's only a little over $90.
Well, so what?
Well, we're paying a lot of money on our car that I don't understand. That's what. There's something screwy somewhere. I'm going in and take another look at that sales contract and do some figures. $1,520.
Oh, come on, Ned. Can't you figure that later? Dinner's on the table and everything's getting cold.
Yeah. Just a minute, Alice. Five makes it... Oh, good heavens.
Now what?
Alice, do you realize that we're paying the unheard-of sum of 60% carrying charge on our car installments?
Well, is that bad?
Is it bad? It's robbery. That's what it is. We've been rooked.
Oh. Well, what can we do about it?
I don't know. That's the trouble. I just don't know what we can do.
Well, why don't you call Terry? Maybe he can suggest something. He's had experience buying new cars.
Call Terry? I should say not. He's only given him his chance to laugh at me.
Well, then, honey, why don't you just go down to that finance company and complain? Maybe it's a mistake or something.
It's no mistake. It's just a nice little chisel, that's all. You know, I think I will go down and see that finance company. I'm not going to let them get away with it. You're the head of this finance company, I believe, Mr. Rich?
That's right.
Then I guess you're the man I want to see about the payments on my automobile sales contract.
Oh, well, if it's about your payments, Mr.
Barnes is my name, Ned Barnes.
Oh, Mr. Barnes. Well, I suggest you see the cashier.
But, you see, I'm here to make a complaint and get some kind of a satisfactory adjustment.
Adjustment? Well, what sort of an adjustment, Mr. Barnes?
An adjustment in my installment payment. Your carrying charge of my contract is ridiculously
high.
Well,
we never feel that our service charge is too high. After all, you must realize, Mr. Barnes, that the cost of carrying an account on our books is considerable. The overhead...
But you're charging me 60% for carrying my account on your books. I refuse to pay such a fee. Here, look. I have my copy of the contract with me. You can see for yourself.
Mr. Barnes, this is not just a piece of paper. It's a legal and binding contract and one which you agreed to and signed. You can't avoid your obligation to pay the amount specified in this agreement just on a whim.
I think it's a jip. I was led to believe that the insurance on the car was much higher than you...
You have no claim against us, Mr. Barnes. We purchased your contract from the dealer in a perfectly legal manner. If you feel that there was any misrepresentation or fraud in the transaction, it's a matter for you to take up with the dealer. But so far as your payments are concerned, you either meet these payments as agreed, or we will repossess your car.
Ned?
Yeah?
I just thought of something you could do. About the high payments on the car, I mean.
What, for instance?
Well, if you could somehow get the money to pay the balance due on the car, then you wouldn't have to pay any finance charge for installment payments.
Don't be ridiculous, Alice.
But I'm not.
Well, of course, maybe that would be a smart thing to do at that. Oh, but gosh, Alice, you know as well as I do that we haven't got that much money. We'd need $800 plus the insurance, about $900.
You could borrow it.
And then pay a fee for borrowing. That'd be...
Jerry'd lend you the money. He's single. I just know from what he says he must have quite a bit saved.
I told you before, Alice, that I don't want Terry in on
it. Oh, now listen, Ned. Terry wouldn't have to know what you wanted the money for. Why, I don't even think he'd ask.
No, I guess he would. Say, you know, I think maybe you've hit on a solution. I'll get a hold of good old Terry Lassie.
Sure, Ned. I'm glad to lend you the money. After all you did for me when we were...
Cut it out, Terry. You'd have done the same for me.
We'll break our arms yet, patting each other on the back. Here, Ned, take this check for 900 simoleons, and may you put it to good use.
So I want to pay up the entire balance due on my contract, Mr. Rich. I have the cash right here.
Well, Mr. Barnes, let me take a look at your contract a moment. I'll let you know just what you owe us.
Oh, I know the amount. It's $800 plus around $90 for insurance.
Well, it's hardly as small an amount as that, Mr. Barnes.
What do you mean?
I mean, we don't usually allow a discount to customers who pay up the balance on their contracts before it's due. Let's see now. Well, you haven't made any monthly payments at all yet. Therefore, you owe $800 plus $719.92 for our service charge and the insurance. And that makes a total due of
$1,519.92. $1,519.92? Now, wait a minute.
I'll tell you what I'll do, Mr. Barnes. I'll make an exception in your case. I'll take off $100. Then you'll owe us $1,419.92. That certainly is a fair offer.
Fair offer? What kind of a fair offer is that? The price of the car was only $1,200 to begin with, and I've already paid you $400 on it.
Sorry, Mr. Barnes.
Sorry.
I've tried to do the best I could for you. I'd suggest you go back to the idea of making monthly payments.
You don't give me much choice. I did sign a contract.
Everything's always easier in smaller doses.
Nothing is easy when you know you've been cheated. Deliberately cheated, too. Just because I didn't know about such used car dealers and finance companies like yours, well, someday I hope there'll be some kind of a law that'll take care of guys like you. Right now, I'll take your suggestion. I'll make my first monthly payment, not because I think you deserve any part of it, but because my wife would be unhappy if I got rid of the car. And then you know what I'm going to do?
Well, no, I don't.
I'm going to look up a friend of mine named Terry Briggs, and I'm going to give him a chance to laugh like he's never laughed before.
Remember, your car transaction originates with the dealer. Therefore, the time to check on everything and satisfy yourself that you are getting a fair deal is when you buy. Be sure you buy from a reputable dealer. When a sales contract is made up, be sure that it gives a separate listing of the cost of the insurance and the finance charge. If these two amounts are shown separately, there's not much chance that you're signing a contract with an exorbitant finance fee. This simple caution could help put the dishonest finance companies and dealers who are in the rackets with them right out of business. It is up to you to be on guard, because there is no law in the state of Illinois that limits the amount of the carrying charges on conditional sales contracts. So keep these things in mind, won't you? Don't let the racketeers mean you when they say,
"Hello, sucker."
Tonight's script was written by Madeline Peters and was based on information secured in cooperation with the Chicago Better Business Bureau. All characters were fictitious, and any resemblance to any person living or dead is purely coincidental. Members of the cast were Paul Barnes, Jack Bivens, Donald Gallagher, John Galvero, Gene Mowry, and Stan Schuell. Hello, Sucker is produced by Judith Waller, with direction by John Cowan. The special music written by Emil Soderstrom, played by Adele Scott and Jose Bethencourt. Sound by Tom Evans, engineering by Robert Becker. This is John Conrad speaking. Next week, Hello, Sucker reveals information which will help you when you purchase health insurance. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.